Well, welcome back to another episode of FBC's Pastor Talk. I'm Josh Branch, and along with me are Pastors Mike and Pastor Jared. And it's a pretty exciting episode this week because we officially were back in the building in person just this past Sunday. So we wanted to take a little while just to talk about the coronavirus in general and how it impacted church and a little bit about Mike Brown's message leading up to us coming back and kind of the pastor's heart throughout the whole crisis. So with that, let's go ahead and ask the first question. Mike or Jared, why don't you tell us kind of where we're at in the timeline right now?
It is exciting to think that by God's grace, this past Sunday, at least at the time of this recording, past Sunday, we were able to get together with many folks coming back. Many folks, or some folks at least, still live streaming at home, and of course that's certainly appropriate for now, and we understand that, but we are just thankful for the amount of people that were willing and able to come, and how God even worked in the decision making process, and even in what we're going to talk about a little bit today is even in the preaching process through the COVID-19 quarantine, and just how it was a challenge from a shepherding standpoint, a challenge from a decision-making standpoint, and even it presented a challenge from a preaching standpoint on what to preach on and what tone we wanted to have, what passage we wanted to preach on. And so Mike had the privilege of preaching both the first message of the quarantine on March 15th, I believe it was, kind of just introducing us to this new world and how should we be thinking in light of what was going on, but then also the last message, getting us ready to come back together. So I guess, Mike, what was your thinking as you approach both of those messages?
Well, I'd have to say it wasn't just my thinking. I remember, I think it was either Monday or Tuesday before leading up to that message, and I was planning on preaching a whole different message, and you came into my office, and we just kind of sat down and prayed, and we talked out loud through that. We came, we got to preach a message in regards to this. We have to step out of Thessalonians and we have to step into this and we got to speak into this. And, our church doesn't necessarily do that a lot depending on what's going on. Obviously we all know every day we could be speaking to something different, but there's big things that come, and it was a pandemic. And so I remember you and I just sitting there, you're kind of just a loss. Like, what in the world does the Lord want us to say? I just think I was more just the figurehead in the pulpit, but a lot of the thinking was you and I sitting there and talking through those things. What do our people, how can we encourage our people? How can we prepare our people? How can we love our people, and how can they love one another through this thing? We had no clue how long it was going to be. We had, there were all kinds of models out there. There was all kinds of numbers. There was the whirlwind of what was going on with the government. And so we just what are some high level principles that we as believers need to be reminded of as we go into this thing? And so I just appreciated you, Jared, and then just, not just you, but bouncing ideas off of various people through the whole week, every day, just thinking through those things. So it was a heavy message, but it wasn't just me. It just was us thinking through those things. And when I say us, I don't even mean just pastors. You're talking to all kinds of people during that trying to, think through this thing together.
So before we get any further, Mike, do you want to maybe recap what your message title was and the specific passage and maybe even read it? I think that would be helpful for our people since they may not be watching this for, a couple weeks out here.
Yeah, let's go ahead, and I'll go ahead and read the text first, which was Colossians 3, 1 all the way through verse 17, and then I'll go ahead and skip over that center section, which I also did in the message, but let's go ahead and read this. It says, "If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth, for you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory." And then it says, "Put to death, therefore," and then he goes through some immoral practices, which would be earthly things. But if we jump down to verse 8 there, verse 7, "In these two you once walked when you were living in them. But now, you must put them all away, anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices, and put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. Here there is not Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, and so on. Verse 12. Put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another. And if one has a complaint against another, forgive each other, as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you are called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. And yeah, so, I mean, coming, I just thought this text was helpful. We thought this text was helpful because it just has key reminders of body life. And ultimately it drives at the very end, how do we have unity within a body of diversity? We come together, all different people, all different backgrounds, and yet we're called to come together as one body. And so it reminded us, first of all, of who we were in Christ, which was verses 3 and 4. Right, that we were hidden in Christ, and so that we are his and we have hope and there's no reason to fear. In other words, this isn't our home. And so just to remind all of us, myself included, it's easy to get caught up in the scare of this, the difficulty, the chaos that's going on, and it just kind of gives us calmness. And then he walks into, okay, since we are his, we then need to, almost going back to Ecclesiastes, right, of think from above, have a heavenly mindedness about us, and then have a heavenly life that we then live out in light of. And we have the power to do that because we have Christ and the Spirit's within us. And so he walks through heavenly minded living versus earthly living. And so, I mean, just some of these strong pictures that he paints, which is, don't live earthly. Don't live with a speech like this or an anger or a maliciousness towards your brothers and sisters in Christ. But in turn, live this way, which is being compassionate, have kindness, have care, bear with one another. I mean, that picture there, bearing together, coming together, loving one another, and considering all those around us, that we need to extend grace to one another. And obviously what drives all of that is the truth of God's word. And so the truth guides it, and then it pushes us into heavenly-minded thinking, which then drives us to live in light of that thinking, which is love and care for one another as a body. And then he ends that whole section there with, you got to be one. And so we got to consider each other, come together with grace. And so that I just thought that was helpful for our people before we entered the building again, in the midst of chaos that's been going on. What's your thoughts, Jared? I mean, why do you think that text and message was helpful?
Yeah, no, I mean, it was kind of one blessing through the COVID-19 pandemic was it did force us as elders to really talk through and think through the preaching and what we should be preaching at this particular time. Because as you mentioned, we tend to be expositional. So we get into a book and we kind of roll with that book. And of course we do topical things here and there, but of course this pandemic did necessitate us breaking away and of course addressing this issue from a biblical perspective. And you had the opportunity to both open us with preparing, how should we think in light of COVID-19 at the very beginning, the first week, and then also the book ended. And then in between, we kind of just navigated from a week to week basis, what do our people need? And it was kind of interesting how for a while we actually thought we should get out of talking about COVID and get back into 1 Thessalonians and get above the fray, but obviously coming back into preparing to meet, we needed to prepare our people to come together because we know we started to sense the impact that just the daily grind of the opinions in the news and on social media and from politicians and all the various combative language that was out there. We did not want to have any of that clinging to us as we came together. We wanted our brothers and sisters to see each other as brothers and sisters in Christ who we had missed, and not individuals who were maybe on different ends of the spectrum on a whole host of these opinion-based matters related to COVID-19, which, again, could be important issues. But at the end of the day, if we weren't careful, those would keep us from being able to come together and be one. And so, Mike, your message was really important to be able to set the foundation for that and to prepare us for that. And this passage is really good, especially down to verses 12, that 12 through the end of the chapter, about being,
It's always neat as a fly on the wall to watch you guys talk through each other's sermons, and we could probably do a whole episode on how you as pastors interact together as you even prepare to preach and think through things together, and even sometimes when you have disagreements and differences, that might be a fun episode someday. Mike, just knowing that what it's like to teach and to preach a little bit, there's always more stuff that you want to say. There's never enough time. So in thinking through that, what did you learn or think through in preparation that you weren't able to convey because of time?
Well, I think it goes with the immediate question, but just stepping back a little bit, one thing that you always want to convey, and it reminded me even that much more preparing for this message, was that a lot of times my greatest commentaries that I use are those godly men around me. You know, we preach, we get the opportunity to preach, and there's a reason why God puts shepherds in particular churches at a particular time. And so you're preaching to a particular group of people dealing with real problems. And so for Jared and Ray and Carl and others in the body, not just pastors, to be my commentary as I was leading up to that Sunday was, I mean, you can't put a price tag on that. You can't buy a book and do that. But so what are some things that I wish that I could convey that I didn't have time to? Well, you know, one of them isn't necessarily words. It's probably just emotion. Mm-hmm. You can't convey the behind the scenes struggles of what you want to say, and not just what you want to say, but how you want to say it, because how you say these things is just as important as what you say. And it communicates the genuine love that you have for whoever you're talking to. I mean, it's just like a father or mother. They can say it, but if they say it in the wrong way, a kid doesn't listen or whatever. Not that the people in our body are kids, but you know what I'm saying. So that's one thing I just wish I could convey, like just how much you love your people behind the scenes. You know, another thing is just pressing in even that much more the gospel. I mean, that's kind of yes, but the gospel is what brings us back to the foot of the cross and says, there was some struggles through this. There, myself included, there were some things that you either thought or literally said sometimes that just either weren't wise, it wasn't loving. And thankfully, we can go to the cross and we can bear with one another in our sin, even not just in bearing with one another in our love, but in our sin, even to share those things with people and just try. So those are probably two of the things maybe they just jump off, just that you just wish you could have kind of this conversation of, I forgive you, and will you forgive me? That was a hard time, and it still is hard. What about you, Jared? What, I mean, anything you can think through? I mean, you didn't preach it, but you listened to it and helped me think through it. What are some things that you wish maybe we could have brought out a little bit more?
Yeah, I don't know about it in that particular message, but I guess speaking maybe more to the whole time of the quarantine, I wish somewhere along the way we could have let our people see somehow or another the what we had to work through as pastors to arrive at some of the decisions that we made, difficult decisions. And the fact that what you were preaching, Mike, to the people was what we had to do as elders with one another, through the process of coming to decisions where we had started on various ends of the spectrum. And where when we came together on those decisions, we were forced to love each other and respect each other through the process. Because as you said, I think you did say in your message, you alluded to it, that not any one of us got exactly what we wanted per se in terms of decisions or outcomes or how the 31st was going to look or how we should approach this whole COVID-19 situation. And so I was just so, I wanted that to be shared because I was so blessed to see the Lord work in a situation and to see him take four individuals and by God's grace come to unity and love on certain issues. And so I wish that our people could have seen that as an example. And I think they did to a degree, they sensed that, but that we truly just didn't have one mind by default, but that we had to work and pray and struggle through that. And that it's not easy. You know, what you're asking people to do is not something like you flip a switch. You do have to pray and work and talk through it and listen to other people. And you know, and it's not always instant. Sometimes it's a process. And so that's not something you could have conveyed in a message, but it's just something I wish that we could have shown our people. And hopefully they sense that and see that as we talk more and more and share our hearts about it. But
I mean, just real quick before we move, I said in the message that it's amazing that you can have two people that love the Lord, are trying to pursue the things above, and on this issue, saw things in different ways. And I remember being on the phone with you at one point, Jared, just like, I didn't get it. And like, you know, so it was us working through that too. It wasn't just we were really struggling through some of those things. And in some degree still are, you're still, you know, working through those things, but I'm just thankful that I wasn't, or you weren't, or whoever wasn't the only person making those decisions. So,
yep. It would have been much easier had one of us just been given the reins. They could just gone with the through the decision, but we would not have been forced to love each other, to respect each other, and to, you know, model humility and grace, which only God can give. I mean, there's that's another part too, is you got to see God on display. I mean, he was so good to us through the process. But yeah, I think I just wish the people, we could somehow convey to people that the eldership was a microcosm, I think, of what was happening in our church and even in the broader world. And so by God's grace, it just, you know, it got to see that it can happen. And we got, and it can only happen, I guess, if we do focus on the primary things, which is the gospel and the truth and the things that you were preaching on. If we focus on those, the other things kind of, we have to lay those aside, even though we may have strong opinions on them.
It's really encouraging to see your pastoral hearts and to just hear kind of what goes on behind the scenes. I think sometimes people are in this mindset that you all always agree on everything, and that's not the case. So when there's even disagreements amongst you, you have to model how to love each other and how to talk through those things. So with keeping that in mind, what other blessings and encouragements, maybe Jared, have you seen throughout quarantine?
Yeah, no, I mean, one obvious one is just, again, the old adage, you don't know what you have until it's gone, and just the weekly corporate gathering and how special that is, how blessed we are to have that. And so, I mean, that was just, you know, as the weeks went on, even as you weren't doing it, obviously that grew and grew and grew, but then there was something about coming together and it just hit you with how special that is. And we just have, and not just in general, but even just our people in particular, to see how they did come together, I think, with a spirit of graciousness and sensitivity last week was really encouraging.
Yeah, Josh, I'd love to hear your perspective as one who's not in a pastoral position, but obviously in leadership in some capacity. What was a blessing for you and encouraging to you?
Yeah, so there were a ton of blessings that I saw, not only in my own family, but perhaps even as an outsider looking into other families. So I think there was just this general sense of life isn't the way it normally is. And that caused people to take a step back for a moment and to reevaluate some things and to look at maybe their relationships or their behaviors in an entirely different light, which I don't think is ever a bad thing, just to be more introspective and more intentional in what they're doing. So I think that was a huge blessing. I think people had opportunities to be with their family more. I know we did. It was there were cons to that as well, especially with little children. But just to be around each other was a blessing, right? And then, like Jared said, you don't know what you got till it's gone. I mean, we'll speak to this at the next question, but, you know, how blessed are we to have the church we have, to have the people we have, to have the pastors we have? And when you don't meet for 11, 12 weeks, and then you come back together, it's truly a joy.
Thanks, Josh. And Mike, I guess I'd be interested to hear what you think, you know, blessings you saw, but then also what were some things that happened on the 31st that were encouraging to you?
So I was talking with someone this past week, and they used the, I said, what was it from Sunday that just you missed? And he used the term stability, and it's just, you miss that stability. And yet you come back together, and it's not like you talk to every single person, right? I mean, you come back together and you're kind of talking to a small circle, if you want to say. But he said, you know, just when you come in and you know so-and-so is going to be there, even though you may hardly ever talk to so-and-so, but you, there's just something comforting and encouraging about coming together, and it's like, yeah, there they are again, just like they have been for years. And that was probably one of the things for me on Sunday that was just, I mean, obviously the singing was great. The hearing the word and the text that we landed in, that Paul was eager to see the Thessalonica's, was, you know, give you chills when you think about that. Communion, we haven't celebrated that in 12 weeks. All those things were great. But just seeing the people sitting there, interacting with one another, for me, there was no greater blessing than that. I mean, there's something about being made in the image of God, and he's a relational God, and we're meant to be in relationship, stable relationships that you can depend on. So
now that we are back meeting in the building, or at least a portion of our body, we know there are still those that are out, and we dearly miss them, but are thankful for technology, obviously. What do you think church is going to look like in the short term and the long term? What can you give us a clue about, Jared?
Yeah, I mean, I think what's, you know, pretty obvious is things aren't back to fully normal yet, but nor will they be in the weeks to come. I mean, we still have to continue to be sensitive to those who are easing back in, and the way that they ease back in. And so I think the fact that we need to be striving for unity, and love and consideration and humility is as important now as it is, as it was last week. And that's going to continue to be, obviously it always is, but especially around these issues. But I guess we just, yeah, ask our people to continue to be patient with us as we ease back or roll back slowly into adult classes and the full range of other things. But we're certainly going to continue these pastors talks weekly for now, while we don't have adult classes, which is probably going to last through the remainder of the summer. So we've been encouraged by the feedback we've gotten from these, and so continue to look for these.
So Jared, speaking of Pastors Talk, FBC Pastors Talk, the podcast here, what do we have in store next week?
Yeah, we're really excited about next week's Pastors Talk. We've confirmed that two local pastors are going to come on with us from Word of God Community Church here in Canton, Ohio. Pastor Kinlow and Pastor Adrian, two elders at a church here. And we just want to really actually pick their brains and learn from them in light of just all that's going on now in our communities and in our nation with the social upheaval and the racial tensions that have been re-sparked. And we just are excited to talk through that and talk about how should we as Christians think about these things and respond to these things and act in light of these things. So we're looking forward to that.
Mike, anything you want to wrap us up with?
Yeah, I mean, we're so looking forward to next week. We just want to learn. We want to learn. We want to sit at two brothers in the community that I think can speak a lot to the current situation that are godly, godly men that just love the Lord. So I'm looking forward to it, and hopefully you guys will join us.
And it's our first recording live. We're going to be actually in person while we record it, not over a video conferencing platform. I'm excited for that one.
Amen. Yep.
Well, hey, on behalf of the pastors and folks at Faith Bible Church, we want to thank you for joining us today. For more information about our church, you can go to faithcanton.com or check us out on YouTube or Facebook or even Sermon Audio. And we'll catch you next time.